The New Marketing Show is brought to you by Trinity Web Media. Trinity Web Media solves business problems through effective digital marketing. TrinityWebMedia.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The New Marketing Show, the marketing podcast that talks about how effective web development and strategic marketing solves business problems. Joined, as always, with co-host, co-founder of Trinity Web Media, Kevin Eberle. Kevin, how are you today?
Great, doing well. How about yourself?
Fantastic. We had an excellent weekend at WordCamp New York City, and just want to thank all the organizers, the volunteers, and all the other speakers. It was a fantastic event to speak at. I know I had a good time. What were your thoughts on WordCamp, quick?
I loved it. I thought it was a great experience. It was my first WordCamp. It was really cool to see the faces of the WordPress community and not just, you know, the names and this and that in forums. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing that it took you so long actually to get to a WordCamp with all the camps that I do and whatever. So that's pretty interesting. I kept forgetting that. But yeah, it was a great event, great space. And it was right in the heart of Manhattan in Times Square. So how can you beat that, right? So with that, I recorded the Trinity Web Minute and we pushed it out to Instagram TV yesterday and our Instagram feed and YouTube. So I want to expand a little bit more on the topic of content broadcast and the frequency of publishing content. What do you think about that?
Great topic and super relevant.
So when it comes to broadcasting your content, I think broadcasting content is just as important as the content you create. I think that if you know, you have to know your audience, know where they live, and all of that attitude stuff that we talk about when it comes to audience research. And then who you're speaking to. And once you identify that, it sort of paints the picture of where to push it out to.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is no one, just like most of marketing, there is no one size fits all approach to content broadcasting. If you're going to create content, you have to push it. You have to get it out there. You have to get eyes on it.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the content that we push out to Facebook is not the same as the content that we push out to our blog. And there's different strategies there and there are different psychologies around the platforms. And the same thing with Instagram. Instagram is really visual. So we don't want to push out too much of the written word. We want to make sure that it's video or imagery. So it's really, I think it all comes down to knowing your audience and knowing where they are and what they want to receive on that platform. Now, your audience may be the same, but the psychology of the how they use the different platforms that they receive your content is way, way different. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, like most companies or brands out there, we have more than one target audience. You know, we've identified a couple of those audiences that we know we can help. They happen to spend time in different areas online, different days of the week, you know, looking for different content. For example, Instagram, you know, the minute to 3 minute videos and the pictures, the motivation shot, you know, that does well there. That's not going to necessarily perform as well on LinkedIn, where people are looking for long form written word and things that they can comment back on and display their subject matter expertise.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, you know, it always goes back to the, you know, if we're talking about social networks, right? You know, long, long time ago, all of these different platforms were described in different manners. You know, Twitter is a hallway conversation where you're passing information back and forth. Facebook can be that awkward family reunion, that awkward catch up with people. You know, LinkedIn is more of a business meeting. You know, Instagram is sort of the cocktail party to everything where everybody's hanging out and receiving different things. So if you get behind that psychology, you'll really know what to push to and where and to when. I think that one of the things that it comes down to that we need to talk about is the frequency. How often are you publishing content to your WordPress site? How often are you publishing content to your social media platforms?
You know, that's a really great point. I did just talk to a prospective client last week who said, hey, I sat down with a marketing expert and they told me I should be doing this X amount of times a day and this X amount of times a day. You know, why is that?
And sometimes that has to do with if you have the content, and you can segment your content and drill your audience down to the times that that persona is online. You know, you have the early morning, you know, guy reading reading his, you know, LinkedIn feed, you know, when he first gets in the office, or you have the lunchtime crowd, or you have, you know, the late night crowd. If you have the content to speak to each one of those, then sure, you can do it 3, 4, 5 times a day. I don't think that the people that we work with and our listeners have that type of data available to them, or do they have the content created to handle that type of frequency?
Yeah, so, you know, what would your approach be, you know, if you're experiencing these issues, you don't have the content, you don't have the ability to post 4 to 5 times a day. What are some things that brands facing that can do?
So I would start off with the blog. And before you really bite off way too much and you really, really get in deep with stuff, let's firm up your brand positioning. And let's firm that up with search. You know, let's firm that up with getting you known as a subject matter expert. So I would start with a blog, and I would post that to your blog. You know, my rule of thumb when I advise clients is post in a frequency that you know that you can handle consistently moving forward. I love to see that once a week. You know, we post to our blog 5 times a week, you know, but we post different medias. So there's 1 to 2 written pieces. There's 2 videos. There's 1 podcast, sometimes 2 podcasts. So we have different media going out there to our audience via our WordPress site, but not everybody can handle it like the way that we can as a professional. You know, over WordCamp New York City, I spoke at the conference and I had, you know, Nate was taking still photos. You were handling a live stream. You know, we were also getting video clips, and it really takes a whole team to get a lot of this stuff done. If you're a small business owner, I would love to see you post to your website and your blog at least once a week, and then to social media a couple times a week, if not every day. But you have to know what you're posting, and you have to know who you're speaking to and who you're trying to reach. That's the most important thing.
I agree. And I think this really, our content, the, you know, our ability to post 5 times a week really began with the paradigm shift of our mentality with saying, you know, in WordCamp, part of your speech was, hey, who's Red Bull?
Exactly.
It's the media company that sells energy drink. Who's Lululemon? You know, they don't sell pants. They sell a lifestyle. You know, we've really made that shift to begin to say, hey, we're a media company who develops websites.
Yeah, well, actually, the what we do is we say we're a problem-solving organization that happens to solve those problems with web development and through content creation. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we are more than just the product and the service that we sell, you know? But knowing that is, you know, but speaking, those speaking points all have to do with us knowing our audience, our intended audience, and where we want to go with our messages.
What are some of the other challenges small businesses are going to face, you know, pushing that content? So we talked about, you know, shoring up the blog. What comes next?
I think the biggest thing that they're going to face is having the confidence to go ahead and create content and push it out there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of this was, you know, this is episode, you know, this is an episode of the podcast that we've done since, you know, that we launched the podcast in January. You know, now here we are, and we've done many, many of these podcasts. This episode is way better than episode 1. And I think that a lot of people are not willing to get better in the public eye and improve in the public eye by taking feedback and taking constructive criticism. So I think that that really, really hinders some creativity. I think also some people don't view themselves or position themselves as creatives, where it's saying, like, you know, anybody can create content. Anybody can create good content. If you're in your industry, you should know what the hell is going on. So with that being said, I think that one of the biggest roadblocks is just doing it. The other roadblock is how much time it really takes to get good content created and then to figure out the strategy behind broadcasting. Because as you know, creating a lot of content for a brand is a lot of work. It's a full-time job. And I think that a lot of people are, it's a daunting task from time constraints, and they since it's so daunting to them, they never get started.
I also feel like at that part of the continuum very early where you begin to create content, vanity metrics play a huge part with crushing the ability to keep doing it. You know, I only got 2 likes on this post. It's not worth it to do this. You know, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, and it's heartbreaking to see somebody take that first step and then pay attention to the wrong numbers. You know, you have to understand this is a long play.
Right. And I think that, you know, we've spoke at length on the show about vanity metrics and chasing the wrong metrics of success. But what it is that feeds the ego. That feeds the ego. And also what happens is if they don't see instant gratification or whatever from their efforts, they want to stop doing them. And they don't see the long play. So anybody who does, you know, has a strong content strategy, and you know, with that part of the strategy, a strong broadcast strategy and mechanisms in place, you have to understand that it's a long play. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you're going to see results instantly, you know. But where you do see results is when you've produced 35 podcasts, and you can go back and say, "Oh, on episode number 7." We speak about audience segmentation with Susan Beyer from Audience Audit. We drill into the behaviors. Now you're starting to have a reference, a library. You know, how effective is a library with 1 book on the shelf?
Sure.
You know, what we're doing is you're creating a huge catalog of content that is going to be found from your audience in the best way or in the best places for them. And you just have to keep stay the course and keep doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe last week I was listening to the Gary Vee Audio Experience, and he mentioned the ROI on podcasts is typically 2 years before you'll see a return because it is time consuming. Look, you know, and here we are. It's time consuming. It takes investment and some money and equipment. You know, nothing crazy, but it does. And here we are 9 months in. And you bet your ass we'll be here in 15 months still doing it
right
before we see that return, because we understand it's a long play.
Yeah, and I think that people are just not willing to learn in public. And I don't want to say fail publicly, but it's like they don't want to put themselves out there where, you know, they feel vulnerable. And I think that some of the content, some of the written words, and I think that a lot of people, when it comes to the written word and blogging, nobody can, unless you're a communications major or you have a background in communications and English and grammar, no one writes the way that they wishes they could write. Well, there are different ways to take care of that. You know, you can take online classes to build your confidence. You know, if knowledge builds confidence, then there are outlets, you know, there are places for you to get that knowledge. So I always say, just go ahead and do it. You know, the scariest button in the WordPress user interface is the publish button. But it's just a matter of you just have to push through it. You have to just do it. You have to get it done. And you have to start really putting yourself out there in order to see some of these results and to create a back catalog of content.
As an early content creator, that button was intimidating. It's out there to the world for, you know, to view. And I don't think, you know, sure, people aren't comfortable with it. But at the same time, you're a little vulnerable in the beginning.
Sure. And I think the misconception is when I press publish, the whole internet is going to see this. No, the whole internet is not going to see this. The whole internet has access to see it. So I think the part of it is knowing the metrics and knowing the data behind your site and saying, okay, well, only, you know, 20 people out of the pool of the whole internet world see this. Out of those 20 people, how many are my ideal customer, et cetera, et cetera. If you break it down to knowing your data and knowing your metrics, you're going to understand not only where to publish that content, but also be a little bit more comfortable knowing that the whole world isn't going to see it. Yes, the whole world has potential to see it, but at the same time, you know, it doesn't go out to millions and millions of people.
For anybody considering, you know, beginning to create content, the first piece of advice I typically give is you've got clients that you're having conversations with, the same conversations weekly. You know, you have that conversation, you know how to address it. That's the perfect place to begin creating content. There's other people who are asking that question, looking for that advice. You know, you're comfortable enough to begin there.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's sort of how I go about our content creation process is I keep a list of the questions that people ask me, and then I'm able to address them with either content that I created in the past or content that I have, you know, the content that I will create specifically for them. So I think that knowing, understanding where your audience lives, understanding your audience, first of all, understanding where they live online, understanding how they interact with your brand and your content is the key to starting to get a strategy for what you're doing and how to make things happen. So any final thoughts on content broadcast or content frequency?
Just take the leap, be consistent, you know, have confidence in yourself, be a little vulnerable, but carry through. You know, the first piece of content you publish isn't going to be anywhere near your 50th piece. You know, you'll get there.
Absolutely. So I think the last thing I would leave people with is just do it. Just do it. Figure it out. Pay attention to the data. Pay attention to the analytics. Pay attention to how people interact with your site. And just pay attention to all of that stuff. And you'll start to see the broadcast channels and how they flesh out. So thanks for another great episode, Kevin.
Thank you, Greg.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. So if you'd like to join us, if you'd like to rate, review, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, we'd love you to do that. Your ratings, your reviews allow us to get the show out to more people and grow the audience. So we definitely appreciate you doing that. And if you haven't done so, if you could please take a moment and do so, that'd be great. Also, you can get this podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or wherever else you consume your podcast content. So again, thanks, Kevin, and I will talk to you later. You can bruise us.